Well, God did it again. He brought a group together, all different kinds of personalities, ages, gifts. He brought this group together, and he made a ministry possible this past week. Forward Edge, the group we went to, gave us training in what they called serve, servanthood, unity, respect, and flexibility. And each of these team members displayed those characteristics this week, and I think probably just like they said to us, flexibility should have been first, because that's what we had to do. We had to flex constantly. Oh, we thought we were going to do this. Nope, we're going to do it. No, maybe we'll go back to do this. And everybody adapted so well. And with his help, we went through this schedule that we had given to us. The first day, Friday, we had an hour delay in Houston, so we arrived. So we didn't really get to bed until probably about 1 o'clock our time here. But on Saturday, we were up and running, ready to go, and we did. We hit the ground running, and I don't know if we stopped too much except for trying to sleep a little bit at night. We had breakfast, and then we had group devotions every day. And one thing that I don't think people had to be too flexible about was the food. Some people didn't, but mostly everybody loved it, and so that was good. We had our devotions, and then within an hour and a half of getting up, we were out the door and ready to go. On Saturday, we went to Trigo Miel for the first time, and it was a bit of a shock to people, just like Mr. Mitchell was explaining about Haiti. When you see it, other than in pictures, how people live differently than we do, it really affects you. But even though it was a surprise to our group, they jumped in, they did their Bible lessons, they worked with the kids really great, and got to hear Victor and Letty share about the ministry, and so it was a full first day, but we went to what's called the Socolo, the center of town, got our money exchanged, and it was a full day. But what was good, that Forward Edge had set up that every evening we had what was called debriefing, to talk about what everybody had experienced. And I think this helped everybody cope with some of the differences that they were experiencing. On Sunday, we went to church and did a few touristy things. On Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, the first half of the day were our projects that we went there to do, and then the other half of the day was being with the kids. On Tuesday, we did the projects for the entire day. So our projects included painting, making benches, and also painting. Maybe you noticed you'll notice there's a white building that we went to visit a family, and we helped to whitewash the outside of this lady that works for Trigo and Mail, her house. Each person had their part to do. Darla was using her mathematic ability to make the newspaper coverings for the paper, and Andy shared really well about his lesson, and, well, everybody painted. Heather was probably super painter, and I was last on the list. I just made a mess of myself. I had so much green paint on me, everybody thought I had the plague, but everybody did a good job. Robin helped us with a lot of photographs. It's not that, like, nobody did any of these other things. Michelle was holding down the wood. I don't know, she had some unusual expressions for her work, but she did them well. And Roper made the benches, and Stephanie was great with the kids, and John went up on the roof and scared me to death, as well as Roy being on the top of the ladder. I don't know if we had any pictures of that. And Lita just loved everybody. But we did, everybody had their part and displayed their gifts, and it was just wonderful to see how the group was challenged, but they kept going. Tuesday, we went to Simon Perez's house to learn about the ministry to the people in the mountains, and there were gentlemen there from the mountains, and it was another challenge to hear the deep and profound needs that were there. And after that, I thought, well, I think it was that day we went to Sylvia's house and saw the destitute situation she lived in, and we decided we would help to paint their house. And I thought at the end of Tuesday night, I said, we're only halfway through, Lord. How are these people going to handle this? I mean, we got to handle what they saw in a week over a series of years. And it just about filled me up where I could hardly stand it. But God gave strength, and he did that. And we went through our two more days, and we had Mike, who was our facilitator, that helped us to talk out the things that we were experiencing. So as you listen today, you made an investment financially. You made an investment praying. Listen to what they have to say. Open yourselves up to listen to what they say. And not only now, I think the people from the Serbia team are still full of what they experienced. Talk to the people from the Serbia team. Talk to Mr. Mitchell about Haiti. When you experience something like this, it isn't just a one-time report. And just keep talking, and hey, maybe you'll be challenged to go to Haiti and help with projects the Free Church we have. Go on another trip. It's kind of scary maybe, but you'll see when you listen to them today, it's a wonderful experience, and God just blesses beyond what you could think. Okay, thanks.
I don't know, if you get Darla started, she may not stop.
First, I want to thank the church family, the family at the Winburn Presbyterian Church, and my own family and friends for their support of me for this trip, for your donations of money, your prayers, and your overall support. This morning, I want to talk about water. We all know what these are. We used a lot of these this past week. I want you to ask yourself if you think having good, clean, safe, readily available water is a necessity. And raise your hand this morning if you turned on a faucet sometime this morning and got clean water out of it. I think that's most or all of us. That's not the case for many of the children whose faces are flashing across the screen up there. They don't have running water in their homes. They don't have bathtubs or sinks or toilets as we picture them. I saw a mom giving two of her children a bath outside in a wheelbarrow, and their toilet was a hole in the ground. And the homes and businesses that did have running water and the luxuries that come along with it have to purchase their water from a water truck that delivers it. And when you use the restroom in Oaxaca, you don't flush the toilet paper. You put it in a waste basket. And sometimes you don't even flush the toilet. I saw toilets without seats because they had broken and new ones were probably not affordable. I saw dishes being washed outside using water from a rain barrel. The water ran off the roof, through the spouting, and then into a barrel. And it was also used for cleaning. Don't drink the water. I heard that from many when I told them I was going to Mexico, and I didn't. I wouldn't even brush my teeth with it, but many there have no choice. So the answer to the question I asked earlier is yes, water is a necessity. But unfortunately, good, clean, safe, readily available water for many in Oaxaca is a luxury they cannot afford. We were asked to think of one thing we could take home with us from the trip. Mine was one word, compassion. We were told that the people of Oaxaca need our compassion, not our pity. And pity was defined as looking at someone's situation and saying, oh, those poor people. Compassion was defined as looking at someone's situation and saying, those poor people, how can I help? And if you want to know a way to be compassionate towards the children you see on the screen, talk to one of us. We would love to tell you.
I don't know where to begin. It was such a humbling experience in some ways. And then yet, many of the things made me feel good. The kids' faces, especially on Saturday. And I gave the story, and I spoke on the lost sheep and the lost coin. Tom was translating for me, and I noticed sometimes there was a lot of time in between the translating, and he explained to me later that their kids were starting to lose a little bit of interest, you know, so he had to, perk them up a little bit, because, see, I had the older kids, but their faces, though, they're just smiling faces every day, even though they don't have much. They have so very little compared to us, and yet they would come there and they with their smiling faces and just come up to you and sit on your lap, hug you. And I made a little buddy there that we were given a bracelet for Forward Edge, and the one little boy, he came up to me and he was touching it, and I figured he really liked it, so I took it off and I gave it to him. And he was so happy to receive that, because they don't have much. And it made me so happy to see a smile on his face when I gave him that. And that after that, he would climb on my lap the days that we had the kids. And it just touched my heart to see that how much they like to give love and they like to receive love. And I was blessed by their wonderful outlook, even though they don't have much to look forward to each day. They do have a good outlook. One incident, that it was Tuesday night, we had dinner at Simone's house, and all the brothers, pastors from the mountain, came down. And it was so wonderful. That was one of the best prayer meetings that I've ever been in, because I didn't understand much of their Spanish when they were praying, but I could tell they were so sincere in their belief and their faith in Jesus Christ. And I cried with Simon, and when he told, some of the story, and he showed pictures of some of the work they do up there in the mountains, and it just touched me. And I went over with John early, and these men, which John translated, they said to me, "I wished I could speak directly to you, because they didn't understand English and I didn't understand Spanish very well, but they said they wished they could talk with me directly." And I told John the same here too. It was wonderful to see these brothers and that they love the Lord so much in their work. Letty gave us a bookmark, and it had this verse on it. It was from Psalms 81:16. "But you would be fed with the finest of wheat. With honey from the rock I would satisfy you." And it was a beautiful bookmark. I didn't bring it with me. I wished I would have, or forgot it. But it was so wonderful, the whole trip. But yet some things were humbling. So I just thank the Lord, and I thank all of you that helped support me in prayer, and not just me, but the whole team in prayer and in funds. Thank you.
Hello. Buenos dias. I'm sure I know what all of you are thinking whenever I'm speaking right now, and I bet you think that I'm just going to go on and on and on about these kids. The kids are wonderful and precious and special, but that's not the story that I want to tell today. Actually, I'm going to repeat a little bit of what Darla said, because she stole my story. God really worked on my heart while in Oaxaca, and there's two little stories that I want to tell. First is about a lady named Sylvia. Her husband has eye problems and has trouble working. Sylvia works for Trigo y Miel 4 days a week. Felipe and Sylvia have 6 children. Their house is 1 room with a bed, 2 couches, and a table. It's made of corrugated tin and a few beams. Going to visit Felipe and Sylvia was such a humbling experience for me. We were told when we arrived not to feel sorry for the family served by Trigo y Miel, and I didn't feel sorry. I felt helpless. So I did the only thing that I could do. Victor took us there, and he offered to let us help them whitewash their house, so I went. I also felt very despicable because I complain and worry about our finances and our lot in life, and these people have nothing, but they're happy and content as they have no worries. Well, they do a little bit, I guess. They don't even have security of their home because they don't own the little plot that their house is on. Something else the Lord showed me is to have compassion. Compassion is different than pity because it moves you to act. My second story is about the mothers. What are mothers usually good at? Cooking and baking. Becky and I taught a few of the mothers how to make sugar cookies so they could sell them and make some money to help with finances. And guess what? Baking is baking no matter where you live. And finally, love is expressed the same way all around the world. There may have been a language barrier between us and the people of Oaxaca, but the language of love is universal. While we can't understand much Spanish now, we will meet these people in heaven and understand each other then.
I don't know what to say. It was every time I turned around, it was something that was overwhelming. I remember before we left, I was praying a lot. I wanted to be prepared. I didn't feel like I had time to be prepared. I was worried about communicating with the people I was going to interact with. How am I going to express myself? How am I going to show them what it means to accept Jesus into your heart? And I was praying a lot for safety. And I'd say, Lord, just give me just enough wisdom to avoid trouble. I was driving down the dirt road to the house. I was praying. This was at home. And I just felt like God said, okay, I heard your rope, but look for the good and beautiful things. I'm going to look for the good and beautiful things. I'm going to look for God's creation. Well, we got down there. It was dark. Didn't know where we were. We went to bed. And in the morning, we were in Oaxaca, Mexico, driving past these tin sheds and this broken concrete. And I couldn't tell what was a junkyard and what was a house. They were all houses. There was no junk. It was just they used the resources that was around them to build their homes. And it took quite a while to comprehend that. It took all day to just figure that out. We got the trio. All these kids were there, and it felt overwhelming. We got through the day, and we're driving out, and I'm still looking at these houses trying to figure out what's what. And I realized, and I thought, oh, this is too much. How can we do anything? This whole place is in despair. So I kept looking for the good and beautiful things that kept me in check. But through the whole trip, it kept getting easier. The kids were quickly developing relationships with us. And I realized then, it's not the whole country. We don't have to make a difference in the whole country. But we are going to make a difference to one person. I overheard a story about this young boy standing along the ocean, and all these starfish were rolling in. And he kept on picking one up, and he would throw it back out. And he'd pick another one up and throw it back out. And this old fisherman was standing beside him, and he said, you know, son, it's not going to make a difference. They're just going to keep coming. And the little boy picked up another one, and he threw it back out, and he said, it made a difference to that one. And he picked another one up. He said, it made a difference to that one. And that, over here in that story, helped me. I only had to make a difference to that one. And that eased it for me, and I continued. All these pictures stir a lot of emotions. It's hard not to just break down and cry over it. It was an awesome experience. And I learned that just saying, okay, Father, okay, I hear you, I trust you, and I'm just going to take one step forward. And he made this place feel like home. When we left, it was like, wow, I could stay here longer. We're looking at those pictures. It doesn't seem like some desolate, desperate place. We talked to these folks. We all had something in common with the men that were working there. And that was, they were saved too. The Holy Spirit lives in them. The same one lives in us that brought us together, made the connection. And when we went to church on Sunday, didn't understand a thing. But, you know, when they were singing, our spirits know what worship is to God. So, you know, when we're worshiping God, everybody knew what to do. Everybody felt the same. Everybody knew that the Holy Spirit was moving. That was good. That was a good thing. I can talk and talk and talk. My brain is still processing this. It feels like I'm full of mashed potatoes. I can't. But it felt good to talk to these kids, to work with them. There's one wee little boy there. He was just a toddler. And he needed help eating. You know, his tortilla was there, and he couldn't cut it up very well. And the mother had three kids there at least. And I was helping him eat. And that little boy just, His mouth opened up like a little bird, you know, and he kept eating, and he kept eating, and he ate a second plate. And I know his belly was stuffed, but he kept coming. He kept grabbing my hand, wanted a little more, and it's just that's how little he eats. He eats every bit of it. None of those kids left food on their plate. They all went back for seconds. And if they couldn't finish it, the mom would take it up, a sibling would eat it. You know, nothing was wasted. They appreciate all their resources, and they used them. That's all they have. It felt good to me. Those children blessed me. By the end, some of the boys were trying to teach me words, you know, and I'd go to Becky, and hey, what's that mean? Or I'd go to John again and again and again. You know, so I'd get one little word out, and you know, they were smiling, and we were playing. By the end, we were all playing tug-of-war, and they were trying to teach me how to play soccer, which I don't know how to play soccer, but I knew how to run back and forth and kick that ball, so that's what I did. Yeah, Zapata, that was my fun nickname there. Emiliano Zapata, a revolutionary. I don't know how they put a hat on me in there. That's who I was. It was a good time. God blessed me. I thought I was going to go there to help other people, but they helped me.
First of all, in Mexico, especially with the gentlemen that live in the mountain, when they pray, when they talk, they stand up. So I have to do that because I have to move around. Secondly, I feel like we're missing part of our team. For those of you that don't know, I'm not a crier, so I hate this. I am now. Marilyn Christofitz is not here today. She's with Lucas down at college, but she is an amazing woman. She is a very huge part of this team, and we were very sad that she couldn't go with us. The other person that's missing is Mike Floyd. He was our facilitator out of Portland, Oregon. The neat part about that is it's kind of weird for me and Becky because of where we work at, but we were sitting in the Houston airport and just kind of hanging out waiting for our next flight, and this gentleman walks up to us and kind of looks at us, and he's like, are you people going to Mexico? And I looked at him, and I'm like, why? This random guy's like, are you going to Mexico? And I'm like, And then he lifted up his sweatshirt, and he had on a Forward Edge shirt. And he was our facilitator, and he had missed his flight the day before. And just happened, I mean, everything happens for a reason. And Pastor always says, nothing just so happens. And it was so cool that we got to meet our facilitator, and he got to fly into us, into Oaxaca, the rest of the journey. What? He flew into us. Okay. One of the biggest things that we prayed about going on this journey was that we were told we were going to work with the kids. And we did that. And we were told we were going to work with the moms, and we did that. And Lita kind of... Okay. When we went to church on Sunday... Again, like Roper said, they were speaking Spanish. We had no idea. I'm very fortunate. I'm taking a Spanish class with Mr. Forsey, so I would pick up certain words here and there. But prayer and praise is the same all over the world. It doesn't matter. And one of the things that they did is they said, are there any newcomers here? We would like to give you a newcomer packet. And it consisted of a video or something. But one of the other things that they gave us was a prayer card. And you could either put a prayer down for yourself or you could put a prayer down for someone else. And this just really hit me of how amazing our God is. We were supposed to be there to witness to the children and to witness to the moms. And Lita and I were sitting beside each other, and I just happened, we're filling out our prayer cards, and I just happened to look over at her, and I had goosebumps on my arm so bad because Lita and I wrote down the exact same prayer request. And it wasn't about the children, and it wasn't about the moms, it was about the dads. It was about the men in Oaxaca that leave their families and give up on their wives and give up on their children and turn their backs on everything and pick up vices like drugs and alcohol. It was really hard to see these children without a man in their life to be their provider and be the Godhead of that family, and all of that responsibility fell onto these moms and to these kids that should have better lives than that. And I just sat there and I went,
oh my goodness. And I looked at Lita and she's like, what? And I handed her my prayer card and we just both kind of like, this is totally a God thing. Like that just hit our hearts like that. So that was my big thing for the whole entire week. Not that I didn't love the kids and want to bring them all back in my suitcase, which I threatened to do and no one would let me. So thank you.
Well, I don't really know what story I was going to tell, but I think the biggest thing I took away from Oaxaca was that the teamwork. We all had to work together. I was up on the ladder, and I had Mike holding the ladder for me, and we had a bigger ladder that I was on top of, and he had to have two people holding it for me. And there was a lot of teamwork going on. It was great. We got a lot of work done there, and I enjoyed playing with the kids. And aside from the working, which was fun, we had a lot of fun just being together. I think it was the last night we were there. Somebody was saying something, and they had to do with my birthday. And I'm like, what does this have to do with my birthday? I was completely clueless, and the whole team threw a surprise party for me, and it was a big surprise. We all had a lot of fun together. And Michelle shoved my hand in my cake. So yeah, it was an excellent trip. We all had a lot of fun. We helped the families there, and we helped the children there. And it was great.
I was impressed with the unity when we came back. There seemed to be extrasensory perception among the 11 of them. They all knew where there was somebody missing. Hey, somebody at the bathroom, they could count all the heads. And they have so many running jokes that they only have to say about half a word till everybody's laughing. So, somebody else.
Anybody surprised about that? I'd searched and searched and searched for all week. There were a lot of things that moved me that I will never be the same. One night my prayer request was that I would come back from Oaxaca, Mexico, and never be the same. Before I left, I asked that the Lord would help me see this world the way He sees it. He certainly did that. I really enjoyed looking at the parallels between their world and ours. I won't run down through some of the examples. The pictures speak 1,000 words. But I was struck with despair, their faces, the parents. Tom, or the other missionary that lives there and works with Trigo Email, said that what do they want? You know, consider what is it that the people of Oaxaca want. They want the same things we do: security, health care for their children, and education for their children. And he spoke of some families that choose, they may have an opportunity to do something that may remotely give them some hope and lift their family out of their poverty, but some of them do something even more courageous. They stay. They stay, and they say, we are together. And we live this way because it keeps us together. And I think about home, and I think about my own boxes that I create, and to our shame, we're not much different than them, and to our shame, the barriers we create are our own making. We have no excuse. These people do the best they can with what they have. They suffer, and I tried and wanted. I had a deep desire to tell them how much I cared about them and that I loved them. And I learned to say, Cristo te ama, which is Jesus loves you. I learned to say, Dios le bendiga, God bless you. But I wanted to say so much more. I studied a lot Victor and Leti, their ministry there. I watched them. I looked at what it took to be there. I listened to their testimony, what they gave up to do what they're doing. I looked at Tom and Wendy, and they have a whole family in the United States and 7 grandchildren, and they hardly ever get to see them. And I asked myself, how do you do that? What does that look like? How do they do their laundry? And I found myself paying attention to what it takes to function there. And you know what? When the hot water is gone, you shower in cold water, and you're clean. You're grateful. And when what's the on the roof that holds the water?
Tinaco.
Gracias. Is empty,
there's no water, you don't shower. You wear the same clothes for days. It's 90 degrees. I don't remember smelling anybody. I don't remember a fragrance that was offensive, not one time. And there's 12 of us in that van laughing our heads off. I worried about, you know, what I would be able to do physically, what my limitations were physically. I had some aches and pains and some concerns, and the Lord took them all away. Some people, this world will say, oh, that was adrenaline, but we know what it was. Because the day I came back, my cough came back, my knee hurt, and I'm like, how did I climb that ladder? I think the altitude of Oaxaca is 5,000 feet, and the air, it really agrees with me. I really want to go back there. I didn't want to leave. I want to go back. I don't know if what the Lord's plan is, but I can hardly bear the thought of never returning. We said our goodbyes, and because we don't know what God's will, we told them we will remember you forever, and God willing, we will see you again. But if we don't, we will run and find you in heaven, because we can't bear eternity without our new friends. I don't know if I can, but this Lord laid this on my heart in December. If you don't mind me singing with a bad tune, I just want to sing this song, because it's just, this is what it boils down to. And I'll start with the second verse. Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that are past, how for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of his labor, tell of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him, tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper, love paid the ransom for me. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
Mitchell Girls?
They've said it, and Lita sang it, and if I try to talk, I'll just cry too, so.
I love Mexico, and grasshoppers don't taste good.
Okay. I wrote stuff down because I wouldn't know what to say otherwise. I tried to keep it brief. God put this trip together. He put it together with shaky airplanes, a crowded van, speed bumps, dust, untouchable dogs. One of them was named, what was his name?
Ringworm.
Ringworm, yeah. Tienditas, those are little stores. Food, warm sunshine, lots of unfinished buildings, ancient ruins, colonial churches and monuments, and new churches that are worshiping God. And he put it together mostly with people. Tom and Wendy Hogan, who work with Forward Edge, they served as our, Tom was our driver and our guide. And Mike Floyd, who came down from Oregon to serve as the facilitator, and he led the devotions in the mornings and evenings, and he did a great job that really helped us to communicate with one another and understand what was going on. And, of course, Victor and Leticia Velasco, who were the people who are the directors of the ministry of Trigo y Miel. Of course, the trip for me was a great blessing. It was a blessing for me personally. I know it was a blessing for everybody who's up here. I loved seeing God touch hearts and lives. I loved seeing these people who are up here on the stage with me see things for the first time. Some of them things that I'd seen a lot and forgotten how I felt about them the first time. And not just physical things, but the way, not just seeing houses and stuff like that, but the way people live. And you've been hearing it. I loved hearing their testimonies. We all shared our testimonies through the week. I loved hearing how God was answering during the week their dreams, some of them. For some of them, he was overcoming fears. For all of us, we were getting to know one another. And there was a lot of laughing and quite a bit of weeping, too. And I loved the tenderness of these people towards the people of Mexico, towards the people of Oaxaca. I love the way they love God and their love for his work. Thank you.
Thank you for praying and for giving. You gave so much that we were able to send $1,000 with the team that they gave to Victor and Letty for Trigo Amiel, correct? They felt your prayers and knew that you were with them every step of the way. Thank you for going. We are proud of you and we celebrate everything God has done in and through you. Obviously, we just got a taste of it. You've watched some photos up here. We put up 508 photos. I think they've cycled through twice during our time here. The team has 3,000 photos that they picked 500 to show you today. They would love to come over to your house and share more stories about what God has done. They'd love to come to your link group and share a little bit. I think that some of the ladies are going to come and share at that spring brunch on May 3rd that the ladies are putting together. I think Andy's going to share tonight at the link group that meets over at the Murray's. And so please, they want to talk more about it than they have time to share this morning. I have one question, and then we'll go to the tables. Here's my question. While you were gone, did Jesus ever leave you or forsake you? And that was the message I tried to send with them. I didn't go this time. But Jesus does. He goes with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. There was a day when God the Father forsook the Son. When Jesus felt that question, when he said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he was forsaken by God so that we do not need to be. So that we have this hope. We have everything we've heard about and sung about, where Christ is for us and God is for us because of Christ. And then we can go and share that with others. And we do share it, not just share it in the sense of those who have never heard, but we share it with those who also have it. So they were able to worship even in a language they didn't know because they shared this Christ in common. And that's what this table means.